Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for this Monday. It is June 27th, 2011. I hope you had a great weekend. I'm Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030. It is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And, of course, our simulcast partners, KJAA in Globe and KAPR in Douglas. Of course, the Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We encourage you to check out the site. We have live streaming of the show there, along with all of the archives of our previous programs. We're live weekdays from noon to 1 p.m. The lineup for today's show, if it's Monday, it means it's political face-off time, featuring one of our two teams of commentators. Today, up to the plate, commentators John Munger and Vince Robago. At the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by Pima County Republican Party Chair Brian Miller. Then we'll talk space and science with Dr. Mark Sykes, head of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. The Buckmaster Show is primarily an interview-driven show, but there is always room for you, and we encourage you to join in the discussion with your comments and questions. Call us at 790-2040, or if you're outside of the Tucson area, 1-866-725-5467. On the Monday political face-off, John Munger, Tucson attorney and former Republican candidate for Arizona governor in 2010, and Vince Robago, 2010 Democratic candidate for Arizona Attorney General. Vince and John, always a pleasure.
Good to see you, Bill.
Good to see you, Bill.
Vince.
Good to see you, John. On a day where there is quite a bit of big news concerning campaign finance law. The Supreme Court striking down a provision of a campaign financing system in Arizona that gives extra cash to publicly funded candidates who face privately funded rivals and independent groups. The 5-4 ruling today is the latest in a series of decisions by the court's conservative majority upending campaign finance laws. The court said the law indeed violated the First Amendment. John Munger, this is real personal for you, isn't it?
It is very personal for me. I ran a privately funded campaign in the 2010 gubernatorial race and was defeated by a candidate, the governor, who ran a campaign funded by what we now know, I said at the time, but what we now know is an illegal funding mechanism. So basically, I'm pleased to tell you today that I was defeated by an illegal campaign.
What if this had happened 12 months ago? What would it have done to you and your campaign?
If it had happened 12 months ago, as we were trying to get the courts to rule, I may well be governor. Because she didn't have the money to run without that capability. Now, 1270 came up, but and that was a big factor in our race, very honestly. But I would have still been able to finish the race. As it fell out, I was raising enough money where she was going to have to get these illegal matching monies to be able to run against me, and she wouldn't have been able to do it, and I would have had much stronger ability to stay in the race. So it affected me drastically. That's just life in the big city, but it's unfortunate that the courts didn't get this resolved earlier. Actually, the local federal district court did rule in our favor and against the governor. It was the Ninth Circuit, again, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, a very liberal court that decided that this was okay, and the U.S. Supreme Court just reversed them.
Vince, what's your reaction?
Well, on the legal side of things, it did not impact the campaigns with additional monies during last cycle. In other words, although John is right that the Ninth Circuit reversed the lower court, the additional treble or three times the opportunity to get additional funds if you're a private opponent raised up to that amount, that was not allowed to be used in the last election cycle. And I was on the other side of the coin. I ran as a clean elections candidate. I'm a big believer in getting money out of the political system and providing an opportunity for that to occur here, as Arizonans have voted for, as I guess, over 10 years ago. So in terms of what happened in the last election cycle, those additional monies, which were ruled unconstitutional today, the matching portion of clean elections. That did not happen in the last election cycle because the lower judge had put in place an order stopping the use of it.
Well,
and that order was in place throughout the entire election cycle.
No, it wasn't, Vince. It was, as I recall,
Johnny withdrew, and I continued on the race, and I was not afforded the ability to get those additional matching funds. I had a private candidate opposing me in my three-way primary, and the opportunity to get matching funds was not permitted.
Maybe at that point. The problem is whether the other candidates actually had the money distributed to them or not. At the time, I was forced to drop out. She had the... When you're out raising money from your contributors, and they start saying, well, why should I give you any money? Because for every dollar I'm going to give you, she's going to get a dollar, and they just don't give you the money in the first place. So that was the problem I ran into. Now, what Vince is saying is that thereafter, there was apparently a ruling I didn't recall because I frankly quickly lost interest in the race, when I was in the race, she was still going to get those monies, and it made it impossible for me to raise my own money.
This Arizona law, Vince, was passed in the wake of a public corruption scandal. It was intended to reward candidates who forego raising campaign cash, even in the face of opponents' heavy spending fueled by private money. Is it still sound, the idea of campaign finance reform, in your opinion?
I absolutely believe that
the concept.
There's two concepts at issue here, and John's going to disagree with me. So let me tell you what they are.
He's already got a big shake into the head.
Number one is a premise that I think everybody agrees in, and that is that money is corrupting our political system. At its core, it is corrupting it, and I think today Teddy Roosevelt would be turning in his grave because what this court's ruling is doing, and it's not just today's ruling. It goes back a number of years to the Supreme Court coming down with the idea that money equals speech. So anytime you restrict the use of money, therefore you're restricting speech. So by definition, the have-nots who don't have a lot of money are always going to be at a disadvantage to those that have money because you have big corporate interests, people with big money that want to spend money. If you try to restrict corporate interests in the process, then by definition, the Supreme Court's going to say, oh, you're restricting free speech. So that's a premise that I disagree with wholeheartedly. I think this was a reasonable effort. And certainly there's always room for improvement in any law, whether it was this one, such as in Arizona. But the second idea, so the first idea of money equating
money
speech
corrupting
is,
the political
and money
system
corrupting the political system, that you see this in Washington, D.C., probably that's the most glaring situation where you can see the perversion of the system. But secondarily, what it did here also was to allow to take away those direct special interests to be able to fund your campaigns if you went and abided by this process.
Okay.
So now what's going to happen is there's still going to be a base amount that's going to be provided. And these were the matching funds. So the law is still there. The law is still valid. The Supreme Court did not strike down the basic premise of Arizona's clean elections law based on scandals like the AskScam scandal from the early 90s and others. And I think what's going to happen next, Bill, is I believe that the Clean Elections Commission, which is the body that regulates this process and creates regulations, I believe they're going to go back to the table. And they are going to probably use that same amount of money funded by fees and fines, and they're going to probably give a bigger base amount.
So, John, there are two items on the table that Vince has brought up. One, money is corrupting the political system, and special interests are just too strong.
Well, it's ironic that the party of the unions, which contribute billions of dollars to Democratic campaigns, is complaining about the corruption of money. I find that hilarious. The unions have been buying campaigns and candidacies and elections for decades. They are not restricted from doing so. Corporations have not been able to do that. So when you talk about corporate money corrupting campaigns, he's talking about union money corrupting campaigns. And yet the Democrats will not give up that union money. You ask Vince whether he's willing to give up union contributions, and the answer will be no. Now, the Democrats have consistently, President Obama has consistently outraised the Republicans. So, you know, if there's anybody corrupting the system with money, it's the D's, not the R's, and it's the unions. Now, the second thing is, it's transparency. It's not money. The problem is, if you would just allow, Bill, if you would do nothing other than just require the reporting of all contributions within 3 days after the contribution is made, report it on the internet.
Be a simple fix.
Be a simple fix and let the public decide whether or not you've been corrupted by that campaign contribution.
And that is where we will pick up as the Buckmaster Show continues. Vince Robago will have some things to say about that. Responding to John Munger's question, is it time to give up the union contributions? And John proposing the simple fix within 3 days of all contributions being reported. That's going to be coming up next as we continue with the Buckmaster Show at 12:15.
Imagine a jewelry store that is both sophisticated and organic, where Tucson's rich cultural heritage mingles with contemporary design. We invite you to Veer Jewelers, where our commitment to customer service is surpassed only by our reputation for creating inspired custom jewelry that is as unique as our customers. At Veer Jewelers, you are warmly welcomed, whether you are bringing in an heirloom for repair or design, replacing a watch battery, or shopping for a special gift. Visit our unique showroom centrally located on Campbell, just north of Grant, or visit our website at veerjewelers.com. Veer Jewelers, Tucson's trusted jeweler for more than 25 years.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with 30 projects underway, including River Road to Ruthroth along La Cholla and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution in the area and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Firo Amori presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Firo Amori. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Firo Amori in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at FiroAmoriPizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tankaverde, at the southwest corner of Tankaverde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tankaverde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tankaverde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs, and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
20 on the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster, and this is the Monday Political Face-Off with John Munger and Vince Robago, and we are talking about the Supreme Court by a 5-4 ruling today, knocking down a key portion of Arizona's campaign finance law. Vince Robago, we're going to pick up with you because John was putting some he put some ideas out on the table, one of them being, why not just within 3 days of any political contribution, just have that as the law, that all folks must report contributions within 3 days.
Just make it
transparent. I got that right, John?
Yeah, okay. Make it transparent. Let the people decide whether there's something amiss.
There you go.
Well, I have no problem with transparency, and I don't have any problem with that becoming the law. But the problem is that's toothless. The reality is what does that accomplish when you have, for example, nine out of ten donors, let's say, are big money donors, and the people, which I will represent by that one-tenth, does not have that amount of money to be able to persuade anybody in an election. So really, it's sort of it doesn't say anything or do anything about what I'm talking about, which is the corruption, the influence that big money, big corporate America has on this. Now, let's return to this issue that John brought
up. Big corporate America is the unions, Vince.
We're talking about corporate America.
That was another
it's union money,
John had brought
not
up.
Corporations. Corporations can't contribute.
Let's talk about that because right before the break,
yes,
John came out and said that unions can contribute and corporations can't. Well, you know, campaign finance 101 here in Arizona, it is illegal for corporations or unions to contribute to influence an election in the state of Arizona.
So not national elections, Vince.
We're talking about Arizona today, John. We could talk about that next.
Not,
I'm happy to do it.
State of Arizona
law is clear as can be on this, and it makes it illegal
for
a corporation. It makes it illegal for the state of Arizona, for any statewide, local, municipal race, for a corporation, it is state law, to contribute, and it's also illegal for a union to contribute. So what happens? What happens in all cases here in the state of Arizona, and I'm not speaking to other states, and we can talk about federal in a minute, is that both unions and corporations separately form political action committees. And they are then allowed, this separate committee is allowed to contribute in any given race. So the reality is what John told you and told the listeners earlier is incorrect. It is completely untrue that unions can contribute and that corporations are not allowed, that there's some grave imbalance. In fact, it's absolutely the case in the state of Arizona. You can look it up. I can pull it up. It's Title 16, probably Section 116, right, if I remember correctly.
Where did Vince not get this right then, John?
Well, he's the one to start. He said it incorrectly.
Please let me talk.
Sure. Well, you've had your shot.
I'm happy to. Okay. You interrupted me at the beginning, so I'm only returning tit for tat.
All right. So it is true that as to state races, neither unions nor corporations can contribute.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that correction.
Therefore, it is incorrect for him to be talking about corporate contributions and corporate big money because that doesn't exist. However, at the federal races, states or U.S. Senate, U.S. Congress, unions can contribute, and corporations still cannot.
To influence Arizona races?
No, to influence Arizona federal races.
Okay.
So unions do contribute in Arizona federal races, but there is no corporate contributions at any level. And therefore, what I draw umbrage about is Vince talking about all this big corporate money. There isn't any big corporate money, either at the state or federal races.
That's actually absolutely 100% incorrect. And if you go back and look at what the Supreme Court said in the Citizens United decision, in fact, which was, I believe, not this past term, but the term before, it said that it was a violation of corporations' free speech rights to be able to not spend money in an election, and that, in fact, they could spend it with their own corporate treasuries instead of going through this process that I told you about.
But they can't support individual candidates yet.
They cannot contribute. Let's talk about splicing hairs here. You cannot contribute directly to a candidate's
campaign. But unions can and do.
Unions have to follow the same rules. They have to have a political action committee. Unions cannot give a direct union check. See, that's where you're wrong again, John.
You look at the federal law.
You cannot give a direct corporate check or a direct union check.
You look at the union money going to the federal races, the union money is huge. They're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars. And that is union money that is taken away from the union members involuntarily to be contributed to Democratic races. My point here, Bill, is okay. I take serious umbrage at all this talk about corporate contributions when, in fact, the big money in all races is union money, whether it comes from PACs or directly, the big money is union money. And the Democrats have consistently outraised us in these elections, and yet they leave the implication that it's the Republican fat cats that have all the money. That's just not true.
You know what? Let me address that, because until John just said those words, I did not use the word Democratic or Republican.
No,
I'm talking about corporate. I'm talking about corporate money. And once
there
again,
is
let
no
me correct,
corporate money.
Let me again correct the record, because this is again a case of sleight of hand with respect to what is happening nationally. In fact, out of the two top donors, for example, in terms of industries, the financial sector industry has contributed the most amount of money if you track per lobbyist and per the amount of money they have spent. And I'm not even talking about direct, like a PAC or anything like that. I'm talking about the influence of those industries as a whole that as you can see, you'll see an entire set of 15, 20, 30 donors from
individuals
acting and
individuals
and contributing directly to people that vote in that industry's interest.
So now
money
he's
is corrupting the system.
So now he's saying.
And now let me go back. I'm not saying you haven't. If I could finish, maybe I could say it, John.
Give us your bottom line.
The bottom line is that corporations, in fact, are funding massive public relations campaigns. You look at the television movies that were created that led to the Citizens United decision, trying to hammer Hillary Rodham Clinton, and all of that.
Okay.
There is money influencing the system by corporations.
What he's saying is individuals who happen to be, in particular businesses, contribute individual money. That's what – okay, so you happen to be – have a job – and you contribute, as he's saying, that's wrong. And incidentally, the financial industry that he's described is contributing huge amounts disproportionately to the Democratic Party. So what he's talking about, again, like the unions, the disproportionate amount of those huge contributions that he's discussing go to the Democratic Party, and yet they leave the implication that it's the Republican fat cats who get the money. The Democrats are the ones that are corrupting the system. Vince, I'll just tell you, quit taking union money. Quit taking Hollywood.
Quit taking corporate money. I'm happy to ban them both.
There is no corporate
money.
That's where you're
misleading the public, John. I mean,
you said it yourself. Those people contribute individually, and they contribute to the Democratic Party.
I guess you didn't listen. I continue talking about the impact of corporate money spent on things like what led to the Citizens United decision. Do you even know what led to that? It was big corporate money funding national airwave time to present an attack movie against Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Vince, if you want to talk about corporate money, talk about George Soros. I mean,
you guys keep throwing out things which are unfounded.
Go ahead, John. Let me please finish. Go ahead.
The Democrats talk about all this corporate money and this corrupt so-called corporate money. It's the preponderance of this corrupt, quote, corporate money is unions and corporate money like George Soros pouring into Democratic campaigns. The financial institutions in New York City are Democrat. They're contributing to Democratic candidates. So all the Democrats need to do to solve this problem, Bill, is quit taking their money.
I'll tell you, there's one thing I got to say, and that is, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion on this issue or any other issue, but you're not entitled to your own facts. People can go out and look it up themselves. The claims that unions and the financial sector industry that they disproportionately have only supported Democrats are just false.
Got about 1 minute.
The reality is what we've seen is
a return to the land of the robber barons. Corporate America is driving this, and that's what's going to happen is you're going to have the little person in America, the underdog, having no voice as a result of these ideologies which say that money is speech.
5 seconds, John Munger.
There is no corporate money. He's admitted it. He said that the individuals from the finance districts
Monday
contribute, and they clearly contribute to Democratic campaigns.
Thanks,
and so do the unions. Everybody knows it.
John and Vince.
It's indisputable.
John and Vince, thank you very much. Have a great 4th of July coming up. Thanks a lot. This is the Buckmaster Show. Brian Miller is coming up next.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A jury in Chicago has convicted former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich of various corruption charges, including a charge of trying to sell or trade President Obama's old U.S. Senate seat. The jurors delivered their verdicts today after deliberating for 9 days, finding Blagojevich guilty of 17 of 20 counts that he had faced. A federal judge has granted a request to block parts of Georgia's new law cracking down on illegal immigration. That block from taking effect until a legal challenge to the law has been resolved. Fire officials say that at least 30 structures, including an unspecified number of homes, have burned.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit Service. With 30 projects under construction, including Tankerverde Road and the Catalina Highway to Houghton and the bus pullout at Ina and Oracle, please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you. From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA 4-diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting. And you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
It's 12:34. This is the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster on KVOI AM 10:30, and our simulcast partners in Globe and Douglas, we're glad you are along. Over the weekend, the Pima County Republican Party issued a statement that the party will not make an effort to push Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords out of office. The announcement comes amid speculation regarding the Congresswoman's political future in light of the recent articles about her recovery. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is Brian Miller. Mr. Miller is chair of the Pima County Republican Party. Brian, good to see you.
Good afternoon, Bill.
So what was this statement basically saying that why was the statement even necessary?
There's periodic burbling up of, okay, well, what's going to happen? When's it going to happen? How's it going to happen? Who's going to be behind it? And it comes from people have a right to have concern about what's going on with the office that's here to represent us at the federal level in the House of Representatives, and there's any number of ways that this could go forward, but the Pima County Republican Party is simply saying that we're not going to get involved in any such effort. There are legal mechanisms that can be explored by other entities, but the Pima GOP, our goal is to put up a strong candidate in the normal course of elections for 2012. So.
Our 790-2040, if you have a comment or a question for Brian Miller, who's head of the local GOP, give us a call, and Brian would be happy to take your call. I want to talk a little bit about the city elections, and apparently at this point, Sean McCluskey is definitely out. He will not be a write-in. How could this happen? How could the Republican Party not have a candidate on the ballot for the mayor of Tucson?
Well, I think we will have a candidate in the general election. Going into the primary, we will have a write-in candidate, and I think, the dynamic going into getting signatures for the candidates, there was a primary, and it's been longstanding, consistent policy of the Pima GOP to not get involved in the primary with multiple candidates. Now, the Pima Dems have, they decided to violate their policy in what they did this time around, but we've been very consistent with that, and it is the job and responsibility of the candidates to get themselves on. And that's not to say that we don't help them. We do. Anytime they want our help and they can come to us, and we always offer equal opportunity. And we're happy to promote, we're happy to help, we're happy to mobilize. But this, the candidates own any failure to get on, and that's widely acknowledged.
But you believe there will be a write-in candidate in the fall?
Yes.
Okay, for representing
for the Republican Party. Yes, I believe very shortly that we'll see an announcement, I think, so coming out. And I think we'll have a write-in candidate for the primary, and that will put him on the ballot for the general.
As you know, and many of the listeners of the Buckmaster Show probably know, you're in some hot water with some of your colleagues in the Republican Party. Terry Proud, state representative, and some others have called for you to step aside. Does this go back to an email that you sent out regarding the SWAT team raid?
Well, that's been used as sort of a launching pad for it. What it's devolved into is a political witch hunt for to basically silence an opinion that's not shared by the people in power. So the ironic dynamic you have here is that a lot of people are willing to go against conservative ideology in an effort to placate the local police union, which is a really bizarre situation for the Republican Party, especially considering that politically the local police unions rarely, if ever, support the Republican candidates anyway. So it's a big chocolate mess, to be honest with you, and it's unfortunate. I think one of the things in play is sort of a myopia on a part of a lot of people, and don't understand how the Republican Party is desperately trying to grow, especially here in Pima County, where we're the minority party. You have to grow to win. You have to grow to be relevant. And unfortunately, these growing pains are being exacerbated by the responses of some elected officials. So it's unfortunate, but it's not just them too. It's other people that have political scores to settle. So,
but this party feud cannot be good for organizing Republicans.
Well, the good thing about this Tucson City Council election is that we have two very good candidates for the City Council, Jennifer Rawson and Tyler Vogt, and they really sit above and beyond this all. And regardless of any feud amongst the rest of us, I think everybody is really behind Tyler and Jennifer, and I think everybody will be shortly behind whoever we get for the write-in candidate for mayor. And I think we have a tremendous opportunity to go forward together.
Brian Miller is with us on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040. If you have a comment for Mr. Miller, he would be happy to take your call. The Supreme Court today striking down part of a key provision of the campaign finance law. Any comment on that, Brian?
I think any way to chip away at publicly mandating that people, through their tax money, support the opposite political preference, I think, is a good thing. So chipping away at this is a step in the right direction, and I think that public financing of partisan campaigns is not a good thing.
When is this going back to the party feud? You're here to stay, as far as you're concerned.
Oh yeah,
right?
I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, you're not going to resign.
No.
There's no. Is there a mechanism where they could do a vote or?
No. Actually, there isn't a mechanism. However, they are currently trying to fabricate that mechanism, which they may be successful in doing. But you know, I don't think the forces amassed against me and people who believe that we ought to that we have room for more than one opinion in the party, I don't think they'll be successful, and I don't think they'll be able to get me or my supporters out. So
it's 12:41 on the Buckmaster Show, and I believe we're going to have a call here very shortly, and the caller is Susan. And Rosemary, are we about ready with Susan? Yes, we are. Go ahead, Susan.
Oh, yes. What I want to make a comment with, Brian, was it wasn't just one thing that was done. It was kind of like a behavioral pattern situation. You know, the thing with the people that came picketing the military funeral, that you were voted against and not allowing them to stay back so many feet.
Huh?
Remember that the Baptist church that comes and pickets at the military, funerals?
You're talking about Westboro Baptist,
right?
And what about them?
Stating that they wanted the people to stay back so far, and you were sort of against that. And then what about the civility thing, where you had invited the legislators to come to the civility scenario right after you were elected at the down by the university?
Okay.
So there wasn't just one particular item that they were upset with. There's a kind of a pattern, a history of pattern of different things that they were upset with.
Okay. Okay, Susan, thanks. Brian, do you see it that way? Is there some kind of a pattern that's developed of you making controversial decisions or statements?
The only pattern I have developed in my stint in public life, which is about two years now, which was very consistent with my campaign, which everyone knows, is I simply try to be consistent philosophically. I believe that individual freedom is better than government control, and I believe that private ways and social contracts and social agreements are much more advantageous to a free society than is government coercion. And so every stand I take is simply on that. And people like Susan can try to package it as being, well, I'm trying to be controversial, but I'm not. I'm simply trying to be consistent. So I'm not one to, out of one side, say, oh, the government's too strong, and then on the other side, try to pass legislation to infringe free speech.
Okay, 12:43 on the Buckmaster Show. Jonathan is on the line here. Jonathan, go ahead with Brian Miller.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Jonathan.
I was hoping maybe you could comment, Brian, on the fact that it's amazing to me that a man with a Spanish surname who was killed in a police raid under questionable circumstances has been totally ignored by the likes of Raul Grijalva and Isabel Garcia, who you think would be normally front and center on this. But as it turns out, the only people who seem to care about the death of this Spanish surnamed gentleman was two Anglo-Republicans, you and Ken Rainier.
Okay, thank you, Jonathan. Go ahead, Brian.
Yes, a small band of rabble-rousers in the Republican Party. Well, I'll tell you, the dynamic that you're referring to, I think, is fairly obvious in that the and I've never tried to make this a partisan political thing with Sheriff Dubnyk because I don't want – I've never wanted people to think that that's the reason why I'm why I've been critical of this. But the fact is that you have the longest-serving Democrat in the county is the sheriff who's ultimately responsible for this incident. And so that's why the Democrats have been quiet. They've been caught with it between a rock and a hard place. And it is very unfortunate because they are willing to sell out probably what they believe in order for political expediency. Of course, on the other hand, you have the same thing happening with the old guard of the Republican Party too. So it's a disturbing, very disturbing dynamic. And but that's the reason they don't. And so be it. But I'm not, you know, when something that egregious happens in my community, I think it is not only my right but my responsibility to say something about it.
It's 12:45. Brian Miller, thank you very much. Bottom line, Brian Miller saying here on the Buckmaster Show, he's not going anywhere. He will remain as the chair of the Pima County Democrat or Republican Party. Thank you, Brian.
As long as I can be. Yep. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Stay with us on the Buckmaster Show. Space and Science coming up with Dr. Mark Sykes.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa! Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson. just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
It's 12:50 on the Buckmaster Show. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show, Dr. Mark Sykes. Always a pleasure to have Dr. Sykes. He is the CEO and director of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. He's also a member of the Planetary Science Subcommittee on NASA's Advisory Council. Mark, good to see you.
Oh, it's great to be here, Bill.
Hey, it's a good day to have you on. An asteroid came within 7,000 miles of the Earth. That's kind of close, isn't it?
It's very close. In fact, we have a simulation on our website, www.psi.edu, that shows this asteroid coming in, and in the lower frame, it shows all the orbits of our GPS satellites. It comes within those orbits through, you know, the south pole of the Earth, and then up, swinging almost back where it came from. But fortunately, it didn't take anything out on its way.
What if that was this a pretty good size asteroid?
It's very small. It's about 10 meters.
But it could still do some damage.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to run into it. If it hit a satellite, the satellite would be all gone.
Speaking of asteroids, last week scientists at NASA pronounced the Dawn mission ready for its rendezvous with Vesta, the second largest asteroid, a space body that's the size of the state of Arizona. The Planetary Science Institute very, very connected with this mission.
Yes, we have more scientists on the science team for this mission than any other institution in the country. And we're seeing these pictures coming in now as we get closer and closer. Now we're about halfway between the Earth-Moon distance. That's how close we are to Vesta. And we're seeing an amazing – it was probably the oldest surface in the inner solar system. It's incredibly rugged. Features that seem to be perhaps miles high. As they come into focus, as we get closer and closer, it's going to be just really neat to see what is revealed there.
And the rendezvous will be July 16th? Something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. We're not quite sure of Vesta's mass. And so when, you know, whether we get into orbit a little earlier, a little later, we're sneaking up on it because we're using ion propulsion, which is a very slow accelerating force.
Ion propulsion, these are the thrusters, and I guess they're continuously in motion, the ion?
Right. Several months ago, we had the Messenger spacecraft get into orbit around Mercury, and so they executed this 15-minute burn, which really slowed the spacecraft down and put it in orbit. Dawn uses, instead of chemical thrusters, ion thrusters. I like to say 0 to 60 in 3 days. And so we sneak up on it, and we very slowly get in orbit such that over a period of days, we're not quite sure exactly when we're there. But it's coming up next month for sure, and it's going to be a very exciting mission. I should say that with Vesta, that there's been a giant impact on that that spewed asteroids throughout the inner belt, and about 5% of all the meteorites that fall on the Earth today are thought to come from that collision on Vesta.
Wow.
So we've got pieces on the ground.
There's quite a history about Vesta.
Yeah.
It's coming up now on 12:54. Dr. Mark Sykes, he heads up the Planetary Science Institute. For folks that don't know about the Planetary Science Institute, this is a fantastic organization. Of which I am a member, and I strongly urge folks to go to psi.edu. And it's interesting the amount of grants and that you are bringing into the city of Tucson. There is an economic development here, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. We bring in millions of dollars a year into the area with these research grants paying, you know, high-level jobs and the We just learned a couple weeks ago that PSI gets more grants and contracts from NASA than any other organization in the country by a lot, according to the head of solar system exploration.
So there's a lot of money involved here.
Yeah, I mean, I wish it was more money, of course, but yeah, but we do have a lot of grants and contracts, and of course it funnels here to our scientists here as well as other places around the country.
And how many scientists work for you in some capacity?
We've got about we're into the 70s in terms of PhDs working for our institutions.
And of course, they're not all on site over on your facility on Fort Lowell. They're all over the world, right?
Yes, we have them in about 15 states and UK, Russia, Australia. We have affiliates in Japan and China.
Talk a little bit about mercury. The whole situation about mercury gets weirder, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, people used to say mercury is like the moon. And so that's the model people have in their head, that it's like the moon, this beat-up old thing. And mercury is kind of looking beat up, but its surface is covered in lava. It's got all kinds of interesting deposits of sulfur on its surface, which we're starting to learn about. And it's got a very weird magnetic field where, if you can imagine the Earth's magnetic field, you pull up on it so that it's like the southern part of it is much bigger than the northern part of it. So there's some very interesting things going on in mercury's interior.
And there are five scientists from PSI working on the MESSENGER team.
Yes, we're one of the larger contingents on Mercury MESSENGER as well.
Let's talk a little bit about the wrapping up of the space shuttle program. You've been very close to NASA. You're on at least one of the advisory committees. This would be the first time in a long time that this country has not had some kind of a manned space program when this ends.
Yeah, it's
and it ends next month, right?
Very soon. It's a
shuttle
sad
program.
Situation that this country will no longer have the means to put a human to low Earth orbit or beyond. It'll be except for interruptions when we've had accidents in the past. It'll be the first time that we've stepped back by effectively design since the very beginning back in the 60s.
So what is next? What will the next step be?
Well,
is that really the big question at this point?
I think it is a question, and certainly we're going to need to develop a national capacity for putting people up into space. There's also commercial opportunities which are developing primarily for suborbital flight. But they're moving towards orbital flight as well. So I think that between the two of them, you know, hopefully within the next several years, we'll be back on our space feet again.
And the X-Corps project and your PSI are teaming up, correct?
Yes, we just teamed up for PSI to provide payload integration services for their suborbital spacecraft. But this would be for unmanned stuff, and then PSI is working with an MOU with X-Corps to fly our ATSA suborbital observatory, in which will be human tended. So we'll fly up with the spacecraft with the telescope to make observations 100 kilometers up.
And you're planning to go?
Absolutely.
Now, you will need a flight physical for this, right?
Yes. I was just making that appointment today, actually, and I have to get a Class 2 FAA physical for that and take an EKG and all that, and then go through centrifuge training, which we're doing in a couple of weeks or a few weeks up in Philadelphia, and then we'll go from there.
Will the private sector step in eventually, as NASA seems to kind of downsize? Will private sector pick up the load?
It can't step in completely because all the things that NASA's been doing, space station type stuff, the research, there's not a lot of profit in it. What's driving these companies like Virgin Galactic, X-Corps, and others is the opportunity that people are willing to pay, say, $250,000 for a ride to go up into space and down. So there's a tourism incentive there. That doesn't extend to, say, going back to the moon or going to a near-Earth object or whatever. So the government, which I kind of view as all of us working together, has a role in opening up the new roads and the new opportunities and the power lines and such equivalents up there so that there may be a future opportunity for commercial expansion and private enterprise to expand into space.
So Vesta, the asteroid, that's next on our radar screen, and we're going to have to wrap it up, but it should be interesting. If there's one thing that Vesta will tell us, it will be what, do you think?
About the earliest stages of planet formation, because Vesta is a kind of an embryonic planet that whose development was interrupted, and it formed a metal core. It's got volcanic activity, the remnant of the lava frozen over its surface. So we're gonna see an object that froze about 3 million years after the formation of the solar system.
Dr. Mark Sykes, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
PSI.edu is the website to check out. The Planetary Science Institute. Have a great afternoon. Thanks for being with us. Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a great afternoon, and we will see you tomorrow.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.